بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهداه إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. Continuing our studies in the great narration of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم اتق الله حيثما كنت, fear Allah wherever you may be, واتبع السيئة الحسنة تمحوها, and follow up a bad deed with a good deed, it will erase it, it will wipe it out. وَخَالِقِ النَّاسَ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ, and deal with the people with good manners, and treat the people with good manners. Or when you deal with the people, deal with them with good manners. And we see in that Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali rahimahullahu ta'ala, he has mentioned in the beginning of this explanation some other narrations that have been narrated from Mu'adh and from Abi Dharr radiyallahu anhuma with regards to these three affairs. And these affairs here, they are known as al-wasiyya, and the sincere advice and commandment that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam he had given to Mu'adh and Abi Dharr radiyallahu anhuma specifically, and they are for his ummah in general sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But as Ibn Rajab, he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, there are other narrations as well, and circumstances whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he has ordered them with these affairs, and he has given them the wasiyah and sincere advice and commandment with regards to these three issues mentioned in this narration. And in our previous class, we were reading some of these narrations that the author, he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, and they have some additional wasaya, some additional advices. And likewise, we see as well that there is a bit different wordings. And the wordings, although they are different, the meanings are the same. And it is very important whenever studying the text that one will gather between the different ayat that relate to a particular issue in the deen, and likewise the narrations. Gathering the narrations together on a particular topic and a particular subject is a means to understand that issue with clarity, is a means by the permission of Allah to understand that issue with clarity. And likewise, one single narration, by gathering the different chains and the different wordings of that narration, the narration can become clear. Its authenticity can be established properly, and likewise, the understanding of that narration can become clear and be more beneficial. And this is the methodology of the people of Hadith from old. And it has been narrated from Ali ibn al-Madini, rahimahullahu ta'ala, and he died in the year 234. He's from the great scholars and teachers of al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullahu ta'ala. His name is Ali ibn al-Madini, and he's from the companions of Imam Ahmad, rahmatullahi alayhim jami'an. He has a famous statement, and he mentioned, الحديث إذا لم تجمع طرقه لم تتبين علته. That the hadith, if its different chains of narration are not gathered, and each chain of narration sometimes having another wording of one particular narration, and one narration could have many different chains, and each chain would lead to the same companion, and it would have the same basic narration, but the wordings will be different. So these are known as turuq. The one hadith that has turuq, a tariq is an isnad, a chain. So there are many chains for one particular narration. The narrations have been collected and gathered and have reached us, and sometimes one narration from one companion about one particular issue will have many different chains that has come to us by way of. And likewise, those chains, sometimes the wordings of each different chain has slight differences in it, in addition or subtractions as well from the narration. So here, Ali ibn al-Madini, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he is discussing the affair of identifying the authenticity of a narration and clarifying whether there are defects in the narration or not. Al-hadithu illam tujma' turuquhu lam tatabayyin illatuhu. The hadith, if you do not gather all of its ways of narration, then its defect will not be clear. A hadith, a particular narration, if all of the chains of narration of this particular hadith are not gathered, then the defect will not be clarified. So this is with regards to the authenticity. And Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala, he has a similar statement, but it is with regards to understanding the fiqh of the narration, understanding the rulings and the benefits that are derived from the narration. And he mentioned rahimahullah ta'ala, al-hadithu idha lam tajma' turaqahu lam tafhamhu. The hadith, if you do not gather all of its ways of narration, then, or all of its paths or chains of narration with different wordings, then you will not understand the narration. Then you will not understand it. Al-hadith idha lam tajma' turaqahu lam tafhamhu. The narration, the hadith, if you do not gather all of its ways of narration and all of its different wordings and the likes, then you will not understand it. So from the means of having a strong and good understanding is by first gathering all of the texts in a particular issue and examining them and looking into them, and then deriving from that the understanding and the ruling. And in a particular issue, gathering all of the texts from the Quran and from the Sunnah and from the statements of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een and the likes, and then understanding that issue in the light of these texts. And likewise, as well, from that aspect is to, with regards to narrations, gather the narrations. Gather the narrations and the different wordings of the particular narration that one is studying in order to understand it, and in order for the benefit from it and the fiqh and the fawaid from that narration to be made clear. So this is a methodology that is known, and this is what is we see here, and this is what we see here from the author rahimahullah ta'ala. So therefore we see that our narration, it consists of these three wasaya, these three commandments and certain and beneficial advices that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he has given, and that is to fear Allah wherever one may be, and at all times and in all places and with all people. And then after that, to follow up a bad deed with a good deed. And then after that, likewise, the third wasiya, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, deal with the people with good manners. So in our previous class, we read two narrations from Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, and in both of them, he is going on a journey. And the first narration is mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is sending him to some people. And it is known that Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would send him. He would send him on excursions and as a messenger and a teacher. And he would send him to Yemen. And he would send him to other lands and to go there and to teach the people. To teach the people at Tawheed and to teach the people the Sunnah and to order them with the commandments of Al-Islam and forbid them from the prohibitions of Al-Islam and to clarify to the people the deen. And it is mentioned here that whenever he is going on this journey, on the other one, he's going on a journey, that he asked for the advice. And he ordered me with this. And he give me a wasi, awsini, advise me, O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in any case, we see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has given him this advice. And these commandments. And in the narrations yesterday, we've seen that there are some additions to that which is found in this narration. And from that is spreading the salam. And likewise is feeding the people food, and he has a charity. And along with these three commandments and and beneficial advices that are mentioned in this narration that we are studying, likewise, in addition to that, in these other wordings of this narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he ordered Mu'adh, whenever he goes to those people that he's traveling to spread the salam amongst them. And also to feed the people food. So these are two additional affairs that are mentioned along with these three here that are found in these narrations. And also from the benefit of the narrations that we've seen in our previous class is that we see the interpretation of At-taqwa, yani from gathering these narrations. Because in the narration that we are studying, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُ مَا كُنْتَ. Fear Allah wherever you may be. And the author, he's going to go into some detail. With regards to the clarification of At-taqwa. And we will study that inshallah. But just here, in the beginning, we can see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he ordered with taqwa, to have taqwa, piety and righteousness, and the fear of Allah, wherever one may be. But in the other wording of the narration, the clarification and bringing more detail to that understanding. What does it mean to fear Allah wherever one may be? What does it mean, اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُ مَا كُنْتَ? In the other narration we see, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَاسْتَحْيِ مِنَ اللَّهِ. And to be shy from Allah. To be shy from Allah. To have shyness from Allah. Yani to be shy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would see one doing something that is not permissible. And to be shy from Allah. To be seen by Him doing something that is not allowed and that He does not love and He does not like. Perpetrating the prohibitions and committing the sins and the actions of disobedience. One should be shy from Allah from doing this. That Allah would see him doing this. And verily Allah, He sees all things. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, istahi min Allah. Ittaqi laha haythuma kumta. Have shyness from Allah. Be shy from Allah. Be shy from Allah. Fear Allah wherever you may be. Also likewise, any meaning, be shy from Allah Azza wa Jal. That He will see you being deficient. With regards to fulfilling the commandments, that he would see you being lazy with regards to fulfilling the commandments. So therefore, the true taqwa and the piety and the righteousness and the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, it is from the haya that's in the heart. The haya and the shyness. The haya from Allah. The shyness from Allah. That a believer, he'll be shy from his Lord. Shy to disobey him. He'll be shy to use the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal in his disobedience. The blessing of the eyes, the blessing of the ears, the blessing of the hand and the mind and the heart, the blessing of the feet and the health and the wealth. To use these blessings in the disobedience of Allah Azza wa Jal, a believer, he should be shy from that. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has commanded. And this is the first wasiyah. اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُ مَا كُنْتَ. اِسْتَحْيِ مِنَ اللَّهِ. اِسْتَحْيِ مِنَ اللَّهِ. اِسْتِحْيَعَ رَجُلٍ ذَا هَيْبَةٍ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ. Now, so these narrations, they clarify that. So the true taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal is al-haya'u minhu, istihya'u minhu subhanahu wa ta'ala. To be shy from Him. To be shy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from disobeying Him. From falling into the actions of disobedience by either falling short and leaving off the commandments. Or by perpetrating it and committing the prohibitions. But likewise in the other narration, or in the second narration that the author, he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, from Mu'adh, radiyallahu anhu, again, in this narration, he didn't mention, اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثَ مَا كُنْتَ. He didn't mention likewise, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, الْاِسْتِحْيَاء مِنَ اللَّهِ. But rather, he mentioned these three advices, but whenever he's referring to the issue of التَّقْوَى, or the issue of being shy from Allah, he mentioned sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, اعبد الله ولا تشرك به شيئا. To worship Allah alone and to not associate any partners with Him. And there was also in this wording another addition as well, and that is any addition to fearing Allah wherever one may be, or being shy from Allah Azza wa Jal, or establishing His worship alone subhanahu wa ta'ala, and following up a bad deed with a good deed, and also dealing with the people with good manners, or the issue of having good manners. Also, in addition to that, we see that he mentions sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, istaqim. Istaqim, yani be upright, be steadfast. Be upright, be steadfast. So this is also likewise from the advices that have come with regards to this affair. So the issue here, u'budillaha wa la tushrik bihi shay'a. Worship Allah alone and do not associate any partners with Him whatsoever. So this portion here is clarifying the meaning of at-taqwa. So the head of at-taqwa and the foundation of at-taqwa, rather the base of all piety and righteousness, it is in this statement here. اُعْبُدِلَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكْ بِهِ شَيْئًا. Worship Allah alone and do not associate any partners with Him whatsoever. And it is well known that this is the reality of at-tawheed. And this is to establish the worship of Allah alone and to believe that He's alone, the only one that is worthy of worship, and that everything that is worshipped besides Him subhanahu wa ta'ala is falsehood. And to establish the pillars of at-tawheed and nafyu wal-ithbat, nafyu al-ibadati and siwa Allahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, nafyu al-ibadati and kulli ma siwa Allahi subhanahu wa ta'ala wa ithbatuha lillahi wahda. وإثباتها أي العبادة لله وحده سبحانه وتعالى عبد الله ولا تشرك به شيئا. Worship Allah alone and do not associate any partners with Him. This is the reality of التقوى, and this is true. And this is the true shyness and bashfulness from Allah. And this is where it begins. And this is where it begins to establish the worship of Allah. And likewise to leave off the worship of everything besides Allah. and that one, he will be devoted to Allah sincerely and entirely and truthfully, and he will leave off the worship of everything besides him subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is at Tawheed, and also this is the meaning of the Shahada. So in this narration, we can understand that the reality of a taqwa is that it is the establishment of the shahada and the establishment of a tawheed. In the previous narration, we can see the reality of a taqwa, it is that it is al-haya'u min Allahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be shy from Allah azza wa jal. To be shy from Allah azza wa jal. And there is a benefit here, and that is that these terms here, likewise al-istiqama, to be steadfast upon that, to be steadfast upon the shyness of Allah, to be steadfast upon the piety and the fear of Allah, to be steadfast upon the worship of Allah alone with no partners, upon the shahada and la ilaha illallah. That there are certain terms in the deen that are used that all have specific meanings, like al-ibadah, or like the shahada, or like al-istiqama, or like at-taqwa. And the likes like this, these words, they have different meanings. Al-birr, righteousness. Al-taqwa, piety, the fear of Allah. Al-istiqama, steadfastness upon the deen. Al-shahada, the testification of faith. That there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. And that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Al-tawheed, you need to single out Allah alone in worship. And likewise, al-ibadah, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-ibadah. And also al-Islam, the word al-Islam, and likewise al-Iman and al-Ihsan. All of these terms, although they have their specific meaning, but they are all included in one general understanding, and that is this is the entire deen. This is the entire deen, the deen of al-Islam. What is the deen of al-Islam? The deen of al-Islam is the deen of Iman. There must be Iman, and there must be Ihsan, doing good in the worship of Allah, and likewise doing good to the people. And likewise, what is al-Islam? Al-Islam, it is al-Ibadah, to worship Allah. What is Ibadah? Ibadah is taqwa, piety, and righteousness, birr, righteousness. And likewise, al-Istiqamah, steadfastness. This is the deen. This gathers the deen. The whole deen is gathered in this understanding. Although these terms, each one has its specific meaning. Al-Iman, or what Islam, or al-Birru, what Taqwa. And likewise, al-Istiqamah, and Ibadah, and the likes like this. All of these terms, they have their own specific meaning. But whenever they're used generally, like the whole religion is included here. Yani the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal is Taqwa, piety. The deen of Allah Azza wa Jal is Ibadah. Is ibadah, worship. The deen of Allah Azza wa Jal is it tawheed, to single out Allah alone in worship. The deen of Allah Azza wa Jal is established from the shahada, an la ilaha illallah, wa anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, it is al-birr, righteousness, and taqwa, the fear of Allah. And likewise, the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-istiqamah ala al-haqi wal-huda, to be steadfast day in and day out. In every circumstance and situation, to be steadfast and upright upon the straight path, upon the commandments and applying them and complying to them, and with regards to the prohibitions, by staying away from them and avoiding them entirely. All of these terms, yani, they have this understanding here of establishing the deen. And the one who is truly establishing the deen, then he is the one who truly has the hayat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who is truly shy from Allah Azza wa Jal, the one who is truly pious and righteous, the one who is truly steadfast and upright, is the one who is establishing the deen in this manner. So this is a benefit that we get from gathering these narrations. After this, the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, he also mentions some narrations from Abi Dharr, that have these same advices and commandments that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam he has mentioned in this narration. So we read, and he says, also it has been narrated by Al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala from the hadith of Abi Dharr radiyallahu anhu, that he said, أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ لَهُ, that the Messenger of Allah صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, he said to him, أُوْسِيكَ بِتَّقْوَ اللَّهِ فِي سِرِّ أَمْرِكَ وَعَلَانِيَتِهِ. He said, I advise you and I command you, meaning Abu Dharr رضي الله عنه, I advise you and command you with the taqwa of Allah, فِي سِرِّ أَمْرِكَ وَعَلَانِيَتِهِ, in your private affair and in your public affair. Yani in your inward and private affair, that which nobody sees, and then likewise in your outward affair, in your dealings with the people. Yani in public and in private. in public and in private. And this is the meaning. This is the meaning of اتقي الله حيث ما كنت. Fear Allah wherever you can, wherever you are. Meaning whenever you are alone and by yourself, and likewise whenever you're in public and with the people. Whenever no one can see you except for Allah, and likewise whenever the people are along with you and they're aware of what you're saying and what you're doing. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أوصيك بتقوى الله في سر أمرك وعلانيته. I command you and advise you with the taqwa of Allah in your private affair and in your public and outwardly affair. In your public and outwardly affair. And with regards to this affair, it has been narrated by Ibn Abi Dunya, rahimahullah ta'ala, in his book Al-Ikhlasu wa Niyyah. He has a book entitled Al-Ikhlasu wa Niyyah. He mentioned a narration from Maqil ibn Ubaidillah al-Jazari, rahimahullah ta'ala, qala kanat al-ulama idha iltaqaw tawasaw bihadhihi al-kalimat. He said, rahimahullah ta'ala, that the people of knowledge, the ulama, whenever they would meet each other, they would admonish and command each other. They would give each other the wasiyah, tawasaw bihadhihi al-kalimat. They would give each other the wasiyah with these words here, with these statements. And he mentioned, وَإِذَا غَابُوا كَتَبَ بِهَا بَعْضُهُمْ إِلَى بَعْضٍ. And likewise, even if they did not meet, meaning if they were distanced from each other, and they were not in each other's presence or in each other's vicinity, they would write letters to each other, and each one advising them with this advice here. And they would say, "Man aslaha sarirahu, aslaha Allahu alaniyatahu." That whoever rectifies his hidden affair, whoever rectifies his hidden affair, and in between him and Allah alone, then Allah will rectify his outward affair. Then Allah will rectify his outward affair. Meaning whoever rectifies his private affair, any meaning between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah azza wa jalla, he will rectify his public affair, meaning his outward dealings with the people. And they would say, وَمَنْ أَصْلَحَ مَا بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ كَفَاهُ اللَّهُ مَا بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ النَّاسِ. And whoever rectified that which is between himself and between Allah, then Allah will suffice him with regards to that which is between him and the people. And they would say to each other likewise, وَمَنْ اهْتَمَّ بِأَمْرِ آخِرَتِهِ كَفَاهُ اللَّهُ أَمْرَ دُنْيَاهُ. And whoever shows concern and care for the affair of his own hereafter, and whoever shows concern and care for his hereafter, then Allah Azza wa Jal will suffice him with regards to his affair in the dunya, with regards to his worldly affairs. So here we see this great admonishment and advice from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, اتق الله حيث ما كنت, and you fear Allah wherever you may be. And in the previous wording, likewise, to worship Allah alone with no partners and not associate anything with whatsoever, and worship with him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to be shy from Allah. And likewise, the understanding of that wording, اتق الله حيث ما كنت, is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions here in the narration of Abi Dharr, أوصيك بتقوى الله في سر أمرك وعلانيته. I advise you and command you, I give you the wasiyah, to have the taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal in your private affair and in your public affair as well. And likewise, it has been narrated from some of the salaf that they used to say, إحرس أن تكون خلواتك أصلح من جرياتك. That you should be diligent and strive to make sure that your inward affair, whenever you're alone, that the times whenever you are alone are more upright and rectified than whenever you are seen and in public. And the times whenever a person, he is alone by himself, and he thinks that no one is watching him, the salaf, they used to advise one another to fear Allah even more and try to rectify oneself even more and be upright and even more righteous whenever one is alone by himself than he is even whenever he's with the people. So therefore, a believer, he will not feel that he's alone. Rather, he will know that he has above him al-Raqib, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who is observing him and well aware of him and sees his every action and every deed and his every statement and everything that he does. So this is the command here, to fear Allah wherever you may be, meaning in public and in private. And as the salaf they used to mention, even more so in private. And then in this narration, it continues, وَإِذَا أَسَعْتَ فَأَحْسِنْ. And if you do bad, then do good. And this is similar to the wording that we have in the narration that we are studying. But here, likewise, there is an addition, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he tells Abu Dharr radiyallahu anhu, وَلَا تَسْأَلَنَّ أَحَدًا شَيْئًا وَنْ سَقَطَ سَوْتُكَ, and do not ask anybody anything, and do not ask anybody for anything, even if your whip, any sawt, the sawt is the whip that one uses for his riding animal, even if this were to fall, do not ask anybody. Meaning, even if you are riding on an animal and something small falls from you, and there's somebody on the ground near you, do not ask him to pick it up for you, but rather you get down yourself and you pick it up yourself. Meaning, do not ask anybody anything, even to this extent. And this is from the completion of it, tawakkul, and true faith and trust and reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That from the completion of iman and true trust and reliance and tawakkul and thiqa billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala wa i'timad alayhi tabaraka wa ta'ala, is that a person, he will not ask the people. He will not ask the people for anything, and that he will not rely on the people for anything. Rather, he will rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he will take care of his own affair, and he will be responsible for his own actions and his own self, and the likes like this. And this is the case with regards to asking the people. And to ask the people is something that is blameworthy, and it's not good. And because of this, it has been narrated from Imam Ahmad rahimahullahu ta'ala, that in his supplication he used to say, Allahumma kama sunta wajhi an sujudi ghaydika, fasun wajhi an mas'alati ghaydika. He said, he would say, rahimahullahu ta'ala, O Allah, just as you have protected my face from prostrating to other than you, then protect my face from asking other than you. Then protect my face from asking other than you. And because the people of knowledge, they mentioned that you need to go to others and to ask them, and to beg them. This is like a type of humiliation, that person, he would lower his face in front of them and the likes like this, and that he would humiliate himself and belittle himself and stick his hand out and beg the people and ask the people. So this is something that is blameworthy in general. But the people of knowledge, they clarify as well that if an individual is ever in a situation where he is in need of help and he's in need of assistance from his brothers and the likes like this, then it's permissible to ask at this time. Then it's permissible to ask at this time, to ask the believers and to ask the righteous and to ask those who are able to help him. And the likes like this, whenever he is in a state of necessity or whenever he is in need and the likes like this, then it's okay. And it's not blameworthy to seek help from the believers and from one's companions and the likes like this. But just to ask the people in general without need, this is blameworthy and this is not good. And to be in that situation likewise where one is in need, to ask the people, likewise, this is not good. So therefore, Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, he has this beautiful supplication. Allahumma kama sunta wajhi an sujudi ghayrika. Oh Allah, just as you have protected my face from prostrating to other than you, fasun wajhi an mas'alati ghayrika. Then protect my face from asking other than you. And yani, protect me from this, from having to go to anybody else yani, and to ask them. But rather, yani, meaning take care of my needs for me and provide for me that which I need and give me sustenance that is good and wholesome so that I can live and take care of my responsibilities and the likes like this. So therefore, this is an addition likewise to these advices and commandments that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has mentioned here. And this is that one will rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone and take responsibility and take charge of his affair, and he will not ask the people. And he will not ask the people for anything. And rather, he would take care of it himself. And this is something that we should cultivate ourselves upon, and likewise our children. And this is a good way, and this is an honorable way and a noble way, that a person, he will not beg the people and he will not ask the people, especially for things that he is not need of. And especially not because of laziness and the likes like this, but rather he would take care of it himself and he would take charge and he would use the health and the strength and the ability that Allah has given him, and he would trust in Allah Azza wa Jalla at the same time, and he would perform that which he is embarking upon, and he will fulfill his goals and his aims in this manner by taking the means and striving and trusting upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Likewise, after this, in this narration, there is another addition, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he continues the wasiyah for Abi Dharr radiyallahu anhu, and he says, وَلَا تَقْبِضْ أَمَانَةً وَلَا تَقْضِي بَيْنَ اثْنَيْنِ وَلَا تَقْبِضْ أَمَانَةً وَلَا تَقْضِي بَيْنَ اثْنَيْنِ, and do not hold a trust, and do not accept a trust and take it from anyone, and do not judge between two people, and do not judge between two people. Alhamdulillah. So likewise, this here is an additional wasiyah to the three wasaya that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in our narration, and that is that one should not ask anyone for anything, or rather he should rely upon Allah azza wa jalla to take the means. And likewise, here he is advising Abu Dharr, and do not take an amana, do not hold a trust for anybody, and do not judge between two people. Do not judge between two people. This here is with regards to the amana, and likewise judging between the people. And this is the indication that taking the amana is something that is serious, and something that a person, he will be asked about, and he will be held accountable for. If somebody entrusts him with something, whether it's a word or a statement or a secret, or whether it's with wealth or with property and the likes, if he takes on that amana, it's an obligation that he must fulfill that. And from the worst and the most filthy of all deeds is to betray the trust. Al-khiyana. And so this affair here is very dangerous. And for this reason, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is advising and commanding Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu not to take on an amana. And likewise, to judge between the people also, this is also something that is very serious. To listen to the disputes between between individuals, and then to judge and rule between them, this is something that is very dangerous and is very difficult. And this prohibition here, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned for Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, is an indication of the severeness of this affair. But there's another benefit here with regards to these two affairs. And that is that one should not, with regards to these two affairs, and that is any taking an amana, taking a trust or holding a trust for somebody, and likewise judging between the people. And that is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has specifically advised Abu Dharr with this affair. And it has come in Sahih Muslim that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to Abu Dharr, he said, "Ya Abu Dharr, O Abu Dharr, inni araka dha'ifan, verily I find you to be weak. وَإِنِّي أُحِبُّ لَكَ مَا أُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِي, and verily I love for you what I love for myself. لَا تَأَمَّرَنَّ عَلَى اثْنَيْنِ, do not be, لَا تَأَمَّرَنَّ, يعني لَا تَكُنْ أَمِيرًا عَلَى اثْنَيْنِ, do not be in charge of two people. Any two people meaning two or more people. And if not for two people, then not for more than that, of course. لَا تَأَمَّرَنَّ عَلَى اثْنَيْنِ وَلَا تَوَلَّيَنَّ مَالَ يَتِيمٍ, and do not take charge of the wealth of an orphan. Do not take charge of the wealth of an orphan. So here in this narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioning specifically about Abu Dharr. Abu Dharr, really, I see that you are weak, and I love for you what I love for myself. Do not take charge. Do not be in charge and authority over two people, and do not take the trust and responsibility of guarding the wealth of an orphan. The people of knowledge, they have mentioned that with regards to these affairs here, they're very heavy. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he noticed that Abu Dharr was weak with regards to these affairs. And whenever he said, "Verily, I see you that you're weak," and Abu Dharr, he is known to be from the min azhad as-sahaba, min awra as-sahaba. He's from the most pious and the righteous of the sahaba, and the most devout in worship of the sahaba, Abu Dharr. And likewise, he's very knowledgeable, radiyallahu anhu, and he was from the most of them to leave off the dunya and the affairs of the dunya. Yani he was very righteous and pious, Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, radiallahu anhu. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam noticed these affairs here, he had a weakness here. So therefore the Prophet advised him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to not come near these affairs because of his weakness with regards to them. So we benefit from that, and that is that an individual, if he has a weakness in certain issues, and everybody is different. Some people, they are strong in one aspect of the deen, and they have weaknesses in other aspects. Some people are strong with performing certain commandments, and they fall weak in other issues. Or they are very strong and upright with regards to leaving particular prohibitions, but then there are another aspect or some other prohibitions that a person has desires for or weakness for. So therefore, a believer, if he finds about himself this issue here, he will close that door and he will not come near that. For example, somebody who accepted Islam or even if he was a Muslim, but before he was upon istiqamah and steadfastness in the likes, upon the commandments and the likes, then before that he had fallen into alcohol or drugs, or before that he had fallen into fornication and the likes, وَلِيَّذُ بِاللَّهِ. Then after that, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him to be upright, and blessed him to be steadfast, and guided him to the straight path, and put in his heart the desire to be good, then he should not go around those people whatsoever. He should not go around, he should not put himself in that position where he could be tried, because he knows he has a weakness in that affair. Just like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he knew Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, he had a weakness with regards to these affairs. So therefore the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him not to get involved in that. Not to get involved in that. So somebody who had a weakness before in the street life, or in drugs, or in alcohol, and the likes like this, or he had a weakness with women, he would not go around those same people again. And he would not go to those same places again. Because this is putting himself in a place to fall back into that fitna, to be tried again. And like they say in our lands, he's setting himself up for failure. He's setting himself up for failure. So we learn this from these narrations, and we take heed with regards to this. And this is from the wasiyah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in addition to that which we find, اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُ مَا كُنْتَ, and follow up the bad deed with the good deed, it will erase it. And also in addition to the issue of having good manners, that we see that a person, if he has a weakness in particular prohibitions, that he will avoid them altogether, even more. Even more. It's an obligation for the believers to avoid all of the prohibitions. And even with regards, for example, to zina, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he didn't mention in his book, do not make zina, but rather he said, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا zina. Do not come near zina. Do not come near fornication. From coming near to fornication is to look, and then to speak, and then to touch. All of this is coming near to fornication. Don't come near fornication. Going around those same people, this is a means that leads to fornication. That's all prohibited. لا تقربوا الزنا. So if a person, he has a weakness in this affair, or if he has a weakness in any of the issues that are prohibited, and he has a desire for that, and he knows that, and he should not set himself up for failure by going in those places or dealing with those people, but rather he should take the means to stay away from them even more. He should take the means with regards to these affairs to stay away from them even more, seeking the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and remembering the fact that he must fear Allah wherever he may be, in public and in private. He must be shy from Allah, and that Allah can see him, and that Allah can hear him, and that there are angels taking down his deeds, and that there are angels writing his statements at every moment. He should remember that, and this will help him to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this will help him to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So with regards to this narration, there are three additions. Three additions here to the advice and the wasiyah that is given in the narration that we're studying. And the first one is to not ask anybody anything, rather to rely upon Allah Azza wa Jalla alone, and to take the means oneself. And also to not take a trust. And this is with regards to those who are not able. But if a person is in need to, and he's called upon, and somebody's in need of him to hold a trust for him, if he finds himself strong and he's able to do that, then he will do that. But he must bear that responsibility with piety. And he must bear that responsibility with truthfulness. And he must perform that amanah and that trust in the right way, and give it back in the best manner. And this is what is incumbent upon the amanah. And likewise, to judge between the people, then one would avoid that. But if it is necessary for him and he is qualified to do it, he will do it for the sake of Allah. There are two more narrations that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned and he gave to Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, and we will discuss them in the classes to come, insha'Allah ta'ala. Hada wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.